1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the spiritual milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Amen. Hallelujah. As newborn babes, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. This is the beginning of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As newborn babes. This is Christianity 101. This is kindergarten Christianity. To lay aside all malice, all wrathful anger, all judgmentalism, everything that has to do with revenge. Lay that aside. Hallelujah. All deceit, lying. And what goes with deceit is practicing a lie, hypocrisy. That's why it's mentioned next. Deceit and hypocrisy really do go hand in hand. Lay it aside. Because those who play act are the ones who don't really have a real relationship with Jesus Christ or the born-again experience of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they'll play act. They'll act like Christians. They may sound like Christians, but they're not. Lay it aside. If you have the real deal, lay it aside. Because you don't have to play act if you have the real relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're truly born again, you don't have to play act. Glory to God. Lay aside all envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Holy Spirit shows us the example of what being born again means. We are now newborn babes in Jesus Christ. Amen? Therefore, babies have to learn how to walk, how to live, as we reach towards maturity in many levels of maturity. There are certain things that we are required and expected of. Amen? Hallelujah. If anyone has children, you know this. There's something that we expect in a two-year-old, some sort of level of maturity. They went from infants to toddlers, amen? And there's an expectation of maturity at certain ages, amen? And we don't allow them to digress back to little babies, amen? That's exactly how the Lord is with us, amen? As being born again Christians. We were dead spiritually until we chose to follow the Lord. And when we choose to follow the Lord with all of our hearts, with sincerity, therefore, He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to live this life holy and pleasing to God. Hallelujah. To help us to understand His Word. Amen. Now that we are born again and we are alive spiritually, because when we were in the world, we were dead to Christ and alive to sin. But now that we are born again, we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Amen. That's the best way to describe being born again. Newborn babies. Newborn babies don't smoke. Amen. Newborn babies don't drink. Because the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're born again in Jesus Christ. Amen. Babies don't sin. Therefore, we lay aside all filthiness of the world. All sinful things of the world. Hallelujah. And we are born again in Jesus Christ. Therefore, old things have passed away. The old sinful man has perished. Hallelujah. Behold, all things have become new. We are dead to sin, but alive to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Therefore, we have to learn what holiness is. And when we go from a crawl to a walk, like babies in the natural realm, you know, when they're learning to walk, they stumble and they fall, pick them back up again. And you'll notice that they are determined to walk. Amen? Glory to God. And when they do fall, there are times where babies will wait for you to pick them up. But there are other times where, you know, they'll push you away and get back up themselves. Amen? That's how Christians ought to be also. Amen? And that's how God takes us through a holiness process. Hallelujah. The call to sanctification. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is referring to here. As newborn babes, in verse 2, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. that you may grow thereby the word of God. This is how we grow, not just in the trials and tribulations, not just in the temptations, which temptations are not all about sin. Temptations, in the biblical definition, is also the trials and testings, the tribulations, the refining, if you will. Hallelujah. God takes us through a refining process, amen? All throughout our walk, not just being newborn babes, but all throughout our walk with Him. This is a lifelong journey. This is not a sprint or a run, because it doesn't matter how you started, as long as you started. It doesn't matter what happens in between, as long as you finish the race, the spiritual race to the upward call of the Most High God. Amen. Heaven. The calling that He has called us to do, to bring more people to the cross of Jesus Christ. But we grow in the Word of God. And He'll give us experiences. It's almost like school. Right? Another analogy, another metaphor, that Christianity is like school. A discipleship is like a school. Amen? There are certain things that we're going to learn through the Word. Then God tests our knowledge. What are we going to do with the learning that He has taught us? With the teachings that He's taught us? And He's going to take us through experiences. Amen? To test us. And if we fail the test, therefore, guess what? We're going to take the test all over again until we get it. That's what all part of being born again and being true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory to God. And He says it right here. As newborn babes, desire pure milk of the Word. See, the spiritual milk is the Word of God. And we're supposed to mature and to grow from the Word of God to eat the meat and potatoes of His Word. Amen? Christianity 101 is certainly laying down everything that will hinder our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that will try to hinder us. Amen. Lay out all aside, all sins and filthiness of the world as we read the Word of God, telling us and showing us what holiness is, telling us and showing us what sin is. Amen. Because those who don't believe that this is a process that, oh, magically, when we become born again, we know everything. And we do everything right, and then there's no room for failure and so forth. If there are a group of people out there that believe that, the Word of God says here otherwise. Amen. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. It's a process. There are many people who started out with the sprint, and they have fallen away. There are people who started out as a crawl, and they're still learning to walk. They're enduring. Because this is a race not to see how fast he can finish. No. This is a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who have not even started to walk. These are they who stay at justification. I'm saved. I'm saved. But they don't go any further to serve the Lord, or to want to know what holiness is, nor reading the Word of God. There are many Christians out there who don't read the Word of God at all from the time they were supposedly born again. When I was born again in the upper room, I heard the Lord audibly tell me, read my Word. If it wasn't for the Lord to tell me, I wouldn't have. And I did. I was obedient. And that consummated the marriage between God and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you haven't started reading the Word of God, you need to read the Word of God. Because it is the most important. This is how we grow. This is the point. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now, why are we compared to a stone, a rock? He's given us this metaphor of what we ought to be. Unmovable, unshakable. Having unmovable, unshakable faith. Being grounded and rooted in God's Word. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Word of God. He is also described as the rock of our salvation. The chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's unmovable. He's unshakable. He's unchangeable. We are supposed to be that as well. Glory to God. Unmovable, unshakable in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Because have you noticed?
He says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, holiness, holy sacrifice is well-pleasing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? But in our faith, we learn what holiness is through his word as we grow and mature. Amen? Glory to God. Becoming a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offering ourselves as a holy, living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's what his word also says. Amen? We are the holy, living sacrifice, pleasing to God. Once we learn what holiness is, the basics anyway, continue in that holiness. And I guarantee you'll start to grow and mature through God's word, allowing him to show you and to teach you all his ways. Amen? In fact, that should be the prayer of our life. Teach me, O Lord, all your holy and righteous ways, that I may please you. Hallelujah. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him, the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to, will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Anyone who believes that Jesus is will never be put to shame because of his faith. But those who are disobedient to God, those who reject God, therefore he'll be the rock of offense. For those who are disobedient, he says, they stumble being disobedient to the word of God, this physical word that we're holding in our hands, but also word of God being Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what he means by the word. Amen? They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Glory to God. Born again children of God are called out from darkness into the marvelous light. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us this in John chapter 3. That, number one, Jesus is the light. Amen. Hallelujah. And he'll expose all darkness. Glory to God. Starting in verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. See, the disobedient stays in darkness, hides in the darkness. Why? Because sin doesn't want to be exposed. And when the light shines, therefore, darkness flees. Amen? That's a physical example. Until you turn on that light switch, and all of a sudden, darkness vanishes. Amen? Or it hides in these shadows where light has not touched. Amen? Exact same analogy here. Amen? But those who does the word of God, does the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That's the major contrast between born-again Christians and heathens and sinners in the world. Light and darkness. That's why light and darkness cannot have fellowship with each other at all. Anyone who is born again is God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God.
who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now he's going back to the mercy of God. Remember the first study of this book, the mercies of God. See, now he's reflecting back to the mercies of God. He has bestowed upon you because we don't deserve salvation. There are people out there that act like they deserved it. But in all reality, no one on the face of the earth deserves mercy of God. We all deserve hell. We all deserve hell. But God was so gracious and merciful to us that he revealed his only begotten Son in order for us to believe that he is, giving us an experience I will never forget to prove that Jesus is, in order for us to choose heaven or hell, light or darkness, the world or heaven, righteousness or unrighteousness. And when we chose with sincerity of heart, therefore he gave us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. As long as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as we stay obedient to him, being faithful to God. And that's what we also learn in the very beginnings. Amen. Learning how to be faithful, how to be steadfast, how to endure. Amen. Hallelujah. Behold, I beg you, as sojourners, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And they will. Just like James had said, how sin works. But also, righteousness works the same way. Amen? But dealing with sin first. In James chapter 1, verse 14 says, but each one is tempted, when, not if, but when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. That also proves that we didn't deserve salvation, but he has given to us by his mercy and grace. It is truly fearful to be in the hands of the living God. Because he determines heaven or hell for each and every one of us. He determines because he is the one that given it to us. He is the one that extended the invitation to us. All we had to do is accept it or reject it. And for the most part, the way the world is, many have rejected. But yet God still extends his hand. Just like he did to the Jewish people in the Old Testament, he continued to extend out his hand to a people who were obstinate and stiff-necked, who rejected God over and over and over. And he is still extending his hand to the Jewish people even today. But righteousness works the same way. Again, this is how sin works. It gets into the mind, conceives into the heart. When it conceives into the heart, it gives birth to action. Same thing with righteousness. That's why he says to grow in the Word of God, to read the Word of God and to grow and mature with the spiritual milk, learning the basics. Because just hearing the Word of God is just the milk. Doing the Word of God is the meat and potatoes, is the solid food, amen, that we're supposed to mature and grow to. Not just be hearers of God's Word, but doers of God's Word also, amen? And that's how righteousness works also. Hey, whatever we're reading gets into the mind, down into the heart, and conceives and gives birth to action of righteousness. Glory to God. Now that we have obtained the mercies, live and learn to live like Jesus Christ, amen? Because that's the whole message of the Holy Spirit through John. We will be getting into that soon enough. Amen? It says right here, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and it will. It's a matter of time. It's not if it does. It's when it does. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, there are many people who speak evil about our God because there are so-called Christians who live recklessly, who do not live according to the Word of God. or does not represent Jesus Christ accurately as ambassadors or a holy priesthood of Jesus Christ, because they live sinfully and recklessly and carelessly. Therefore, the world sees it, and guess what? They see the hypocrisy. They see that the words are not lining up with the action, and therefore, they curse our God because of it. You may think, oh, it's because people's hard-hearted, they don't want to believe. No. Oftentimes, they don't want to believe because we live as hypocrites. Our mouths are not lining up with our walk. See, this is why we have to learn what Christianity is. In order to be a soul winner, you first have to learn to be a Christian. Before you become pastor or teacher or evangelist or a prophet, you must learn how to be a Christian first, so that they may see your good works and praise our Heavenly Father. Glory to God, that's what it says here. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, conduct yourselves as holy living epistles unto God when you're being watched and when you're not. Conduct yourselves honorable according to the gospel message of Jesus Christ and of the cross. Amen? That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. Man's ordinance? What is he talking about there? State laws? National law? As long as it doesn't violate the word of God. Like, for example, in this nation today, sharing the word of God in a specific subject, such as homosexuality, just sharing what the word of God says to a homosexual, and they get offended, therefore they can sue you and claim that you committed a hate crime against them, and all you did was just tell them the truth about homosexuality. That's today in America. If we keep silent, guess what? We're violating God's word. Why? Because the word of God told us to warn people, to warn the blind. Because sinners and heathens are blind. They don't know the truth. But when you tell them the truth, they become unblind. They start to see the light. Now, they might get offended. But just because of offense doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. But if you stay silent, therefore, you violate God's word. Oh, you may keep the ordinance of man, but you violate God's word. Because the word of God tells us in Ezekiel chapter 33 to warn people of the upcoming judgments for all sinners and heathens is standing before God face to face. And because they rejected Jesus Christ, or because they didn't know, they will receive hell because of it. Amen? That's why we're supposed to tell people and to warn people of the upcoming judgments of God. Amen? And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Here, it's not referring to the Jewish people only, but to the future children of God of the covenant. Amen. That's us today, the New Testament children of God. Speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring them the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. In fact, that's what Christianity is, to be watch people, to warn people of pending doom and destruction of eternal hell. Or they can receive heaven, and a way of escape of hell is heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Why? Because the watchman didn't warn the people as he was supposed to. See? Do you see the parallels between this and Christianity? Having a true relationship with God. You don't want to see anyone go to hell. Amen? You want to warn as many people as possible, amen? Hallelujah. And how do we warn people? With the truth, with the Word of God. It's up to every individual to accept it or reject it. If they reject it, it'll be on their own head. But if you were a watchman, and you do not tell anybody about Jesus Christ, guess what? Their blood, God will require at your hands. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When we hear God speak, we're supposed to warn. Because Jesus tells us, whatever you hear in darkness, speak into the light. Whatever I tell you in the ear, preach on the housetops. Glory to God. He's given us his word. He's given us the gospel message of salvation. Therefore, we have to share that with others. For those who have a real relationship with God. Amen. And holiness, when we live right with God, therefore, we'll become more effective because people will tend to believe us. Why? Because we're conducting ourselves holy and pleasing to God through the power of faith. Amen. Knowing who God is, having a relationship with him, because we don't want to see people go to hell. Now, there's a lot of us that are discouraged because we've been rejected over and over and over everything we said. We're called liars because of the things that we preach according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because they just don't want to believe it. I understand the discouragement. We need to get rid of those discouragements, hallelujah, because we're supposed to warn the people of pending judgment and doom. Everything that the Word of God speaks, not only eternally, but a time coming closer to that, which is hell on earth. According to the book of Revelation, we're supposed to be warning people about those events that will take place, hoping that it will draw people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we know the truth. And Jesus said in his word, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Know the truth of God's word and that word will set people free. Amen. Know the truth. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord Jesus Christ will set you free. The truth will set you free. Amen? Glory to God. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. That is pertaining to us today. We're supposed to warn the wicked, not only of pending doom of judgment, but of sin. It says it right here. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Because why? You didn't warn him. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul because you've warned that person. Amen. That's our duty in the Lord to do, to warn people of their sins. Where they're headed because of their sins, because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Why should you die, O sinners and heathens? Not those of Israel, but the Gentiles also. God is pleading. Why should you die in your sins and transgressions? When I have made a way, thus says the Lord, Jesus Christ, when I have made a way for you to live, sin will take us to hell. Rejection of Jesus Christ will send people to hell. And that's what the Holy Spirit is getting at here. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. If the speed limit says 55 miles per hour, you do 55 miles per hour. If our law says do not steal, not only biblical law, but state law says do not steal, don't steal. Honor the laws of your land, as long as it doesn't violate God's word, if that makes any sense. And going back to that, warning the people of their sins. If we don't warn homosexuals of their sins, and we honor the national law of this nation, because we're afraid to either speak out because we're afraid of jail, or we're afraid of people, I don't know, I don't get why. Or you, pastors, who compromise God's word by marrying homosexuals on the sacred holy altar of Jesus Christ in church, because you're afraid to violate man's laws, you are violating God's word. You're violating God's law. Therefore, you're a transgressor of Jesus Christ. Honor God through state and national laws as long as it doesn't violate God's word. Okay? Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen? As long as it doesn't violate God's word. You know, a perfect example was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The national law in Babylon at that time, in Daniel's day, and you can find this in the book of Daniel chapter 3 and chapter 6, okay, that you must worship Nebuchadnezzar at a certain time of the day to worship his idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. They refused to bow down and worship an idol or to worship a man. Therefore, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. You know, they might have been kind of fearful, but they refused to compromise. That is the type and shadow of the first century church ought to be today. Now, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he violated a national law that was put into effect. And he was there when it was signed, but he refused to compromise God's word. He honored God's word above national law. And then that national law was he couldn't pray, but he did anyway. And he was there at the signing because he was the king's right-hand man at that time. So he saw the signing of that ordinance, that law. And guess what? He didn't honor that ordinance. He honored God. And that is the perfect example of what is being mentioned here. We're to honor God's word above any ordinance. But we're supposed to be honoring an ordinance as long as it's not violating God's word or violating God's laws. Amen? For this is the will of God, and that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice or sin, but as bondservants of God. See, we are free, okay? We have a liberty in Jesus Christ, but don't use that liberty to sin against God. That's what the Word of God also teaches and tells us. Amen? Same thing here. As free, yet not using liberty of Jesus Christ as a cloak for wickedness of sin, but as bondservants of God. You know, in fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We see we have a liberty, but don't use that liberty to sin against God or violate his word. Amen? Honor all people. Respect them. Love the brethren. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable because of conscience towards God. One endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults or for your sins, your hypocrisies, you take it patiently because you know you've done wrong. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. This falls in line with what our Lord Jesus Christ had taught us. Amen? In Matthew chapter 5, see, again, the point is basic Christianity. When we're born again, what are we are to learn? This is what we're to learn. The basics of Christianity. The basics of being born again. Amen? Because if you're born again, there has to be a change. An inward change, not an outward change. You want to do good. Amen? You want to do good. You want to be a holy, living sacrifice pleasing to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You want to. But where do we go from just that desire to wanting to? By doing what the Word of God says. And how are we to do the Word of God if we have not heard the message from the Word of God on how to live according to God's righteous, holy standards? Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 38. Jesus taught us this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, and do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do that? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, by doing good. Not just hearing to do good, but to do it. Hallelujah. Basic Christianity. Kindergarten Christianity. Amen. Hallelujah. Holiness is not natural to us. That's why we have to learn it. Our sin nature, evil doing, evil desires, the carnal mind, the flesh, are our nature, is natural to us because it's our nature, amen? That's why we have to learn what holiness is. That's why we have to read and study, read the Word of God out loud and study the Word of God to get into our minds. And from the minds, as we meditate on the Word of God, pondering on the Word of God is what meditation means, to ponder constantly, day and night on the Word of God, to do the Word of God, it gets down into our hearts, conceived in our hearts, and gives birth to action. And holiness will become more natural to us, hallelujah, when we learn to do it. Amen. When it gets down in our hearts, it'll become more natural to us to the point where it'll become totally natural and where sin becomes weird. But it's a process we have to strive for. And all I'm called to do is to tell you that there is that place that we can get to. But we have to strive, we have to endure to get there. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to strive to get there. But there is a such place that we can live in Jesus Christ, holy and pleasing to God. It's not impossible. Amen? But we got to learn it as the Holy Spirit instructs us and teaches us his ways, all his ways. Again, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. That's not just talking about in slavery, because slavery was happening in the first century church. But it wasn't in such a way where it was like master and servant relationship, master beats servant, you know, for no reason at all. No, masters discipline their servants for doing wrong. But aren't we servants today with our bosses at work? Hello? This still applies today, because this is not just talking about a master and servant relationship. We're talking about a master and servant relationship at our job site. Be submissive to your bosses with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but to the harsh as well. For this is commendable if, because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Meaning if you did good and you're suffering wrongfully, guess what? Endure it. Our nature is grieving it. We're grieved because we're suffering wrong. We know we're suffering wrong, but endure it. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently when you do wrong? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, to endure it. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. In fact, that's what all his word is, teaching us his ways to follow his steps, to be more like Jesus Christ. Because we're called to be ambassadors. What is an ambassador? A representative. If we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, therefore we're supposed to be representing Jesus Christ accurately. Amen. That's the point of all this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered. He also told us that we would suffer also in many different ways. And even the Holy Spirit administered that fact through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Coincides with what Jesus had taught his disciples in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In verse 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, testings, tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Couldn't get any more blunt than that. Jesus also told us in Matthew chapter 24 that we will die and suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will suffer and die for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what he says here. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. There are many false theologies basing on, well, Jesus Christ did everything for you, gone through everything so we don't have to. That's false theology. Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, it really does. But it's far from the truth. Far from God's holy word. God's holy word teaches contrary to that. One example is right here. Now, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. How do we die to sins? They're being raised up to life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is being born again. Being dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That we, having died to sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, the interesting thing about the word healed, actually salvation, salvation means to be saved from the wrath of God, which is hell. Amen. To be brought close to God, to have a relationship with God, being reconciled back to God. Amen. Because Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. Amen. Glory to God. Salvation also means healed, meaning healing. Amen. So whose stripes we were healed and saved and delivered and set free. Amen. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your souls. to live like Jesus Christ. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. The focus here is to live is Christ, to live like Jesus Christ. And that's what we're striving for, to be honorable ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing him accurately as he is, powerful, glorious, obedient, in Jesus' mighty name.